One of the things we know about you is that you have started spending money. It's the business news headlines for Friday, the 15th day of October. Thanks, as always, for being with us. In other business news and personal finance, the Social Security raise is big, but there is a but. United Airlines and unvaccinated workers made the news. A Boeing test pilot has been charged with what? Withholding information from the FAA about the troubled 737 MAX. Is a cashless society another form of discrimination? We've got a report about that. Stealing textbooks? Yeah, it seems to be a thing. We've got the Wall Street Report, and QR codes in restaurants are not, it seems, a good mix. And because it is Friday, Jeff Pitts is in from City View with stuff to do in the Greater Des Moines Metro this weekend into next week. Let's go.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Focus and Find, a socially responsible way to acquire diverse talent. FocusandFind.com. Taro International for corporate and personal training to achieve, lead, and outclass. TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, the original agriculture equipment recyclers and suppliers at NTPDA.com.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to this, the Friday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby, and as always, you can follow us on Twitter at IOB_NewsHour. Well, Americans, it would seem, are not letting higher prices stem their buying. The surprising retail sales report was out on Friday morning, and here is what we learned. Bloomberg is reporting the government's report showed retail sales rose by 0.7% last month to $625 billion. That exceeded the median estimate of a 0.2% decline from economists who were surveyed by Bloomberg. Spending at stores and restaurants unexpectedly bounced up, and that's a brighter sign for an economy highly dependent on consumers. Meanwhile, data from August sales was revised upward from 0.7% to 0.9%. Economists expected consumers to start their holiday shopping early to avoid empty shelves, which would probably keep retail sales higher in October. Spending remains strong despite consumer sentiment shifting lower, thanks to strong household wealth and rising wages from a tightening labor market. Meanwhile, a survey from the University of Michigan on Friday showed consumer sentiment slipped further in early October because of the endless pandemic and the political wrangling in Washington over raising the federal government debt limit, as well as more spending for infrastructure and social programs. Still, this retail sales report plus some big quarterly profits announced by the big banks boosted Wall Street, and I'll have those numbers for you in just a bit. Due to inflation, the cost of living adjustment for Social Security will be an increase of 5.9%, something that has not happened in well over 30 years. Traditionally, the increase has been less than 2%. But, yeah, there is a but. While a generous Social Security raise is a good thing in theory, there's one scenario where it could actually backfire, and seniors need to gear up for that possibility. The Motley Fool is reporting that taxes on Social Security hinge on provisional income, which is the sum of non-Social Security income plus 50% of one's annual benefit. Now, for those who are single, a provisional income under $25,000 means Social Security will not be taxed. But singles with a provisional income that range between $25,000 to $34,000 risk taxes on up to 50% of their benefits. And those with a provisional income above $34,000 risk taxes on up to 85% of their benefits. Now, the thresholds are slightly higher for married couples collecting Social Security. In that case, couples with a provisional income under $32,000 get to keep their benefits in full, but a provisional income of $32,000 to $44,000 means that up to 50% can be taxed, and beyond $44,000, up to 85% of benefits can be taxed. Well, here's how next year's COLA comes into play. Seniors who are currently on the cusp of being taxed on Social Security could see their benefits rise to the point where their provisional income exceeds the above limits. The result? Being hit with taxes on benefits for the first time. One of the most frustrating things about taxes on Social Security is that the income thresholds above haven't changed in decades, even though the cost of living has increased greatly. Best advice? Get with your tax preparer now rather than later. Get vaccinated or you will be put on leave. Not so fast. The Associated Press is reporting that a federal judge has extended a ban on United Airlines putting employees on unpaid leave for seeking a medical or religious exemption from the airline's requirement to get vaccinated against COVID-19. Lawyers for the employees and the airline agreed last month that United wouldn't put workers on unpaid leave, but the judge wrote that the agreement will expire before he can rule on the merits of the matter. That would leave hundreds of workers at risk of being put on indefinite unpaid leave or forced to get a vaccination that violates their religious beliefs or medical restrictions. The restraining order, by the way, expires on October 26. One big question. What is, anybody? What is the religious problem? I still haven't been able to figure that out. Maybe you can for me. Well, staying with airplanes for just a moment, the Associated Press is reporting that a former Boeing pilot has been indicted by a federal grand jury on charges of deceiving safety regulators about the 737 MAX jetliner, which was later involved in two deadly crashes. The indictment charges Mark A. Faulkner with giving the Federal Aviation Administration false and incomplete information about an automated flight control system that played a role in the crashes which killed 346 people. Prosecutors said that because of Faulkner's alleged deception, the system was not mentioned in pilot manuals or training materials. Faulkner, who's 49, was charged with two counts of fraud involving aircraft parts in interstate commerce and four counts of wire fraud. If convicted on all counts, he could get 100 years in prison. Could businesses that refuse to take cash be guilty of discrimination? MarketWatch is reporting the issue has come up in the House Financial Services Committee. At issue is that many minority individuals do not have bank accounts, and lacking those, they also lack debit cards. And if a business decides to only accept cards, no cash, well, they're out of the mix. A bill co-sponsored by Representative Sylvia Garcia, a Texas Democrat, and member of the Subcommittee on Oversight and Investigations, would make it illegal for retailers to refuse to accept cash for in-person payments. Republicans argue that using cash increases costs for small businesses. Garcia said that if the economy goes cashless, there are poor people who are out there who are not going to be able to afford those basic necessities of life. Meanwhile, Representative Tom Emmer of Minnesota, that's the top Republican on the subcommittee, said having to hold cash increases costs for retailers. How? It puts them at greater risk for robbery. But there is another question about that. If you accept only debit cards or credit cards, isn't there a processing fee involved? And wouldn't that be more expensive than cash? I'm just asking the question. Two words. Stay tuned. Earlier, we shared a story about retail theft and how a father and daughter duo got thieves to steal from Target, CVS, Walgreens, among others. They would then pay the thieves in cash and then turn around and sell the stolen goods on Amazon and from their own website. It was a big deal. They made off with millions of dollars before getting caught. Well, here's another story, but this one has to do with stolen textbooks. MarketWatch is reporting that a group of men in Michigan have been charged with stealing $1.5 million worth of books from Amazon.com's textbook rental service and selling them for cash. Prosecutors say the men, led by Jeffrey Mark Hayes Talma of Portage, Michigan, allegedly rented thousands of books over a 5-year period of time with no intention of ever returning them. Now, textbooks are notoriously expensive, so Amazon's textbook rental program allows students to rent books for a period of time for a fee far lower than the book's purchase price. The program limits the number of books that can be rented by one person at any given time to 15. And if a book is not returned, Amazon charges the full price to the borrower's credit card. Now, to get around those rules, prosecutors allege that Talsma created numerous accounts in fake names and would use Amazon gift cards to pay the rental fee. He would then enter credit card information from My Vanilla prepaid Visa cards that had little or no money on them as a backup payment method. Talsma then allegedly had the books mailed to various postal addresses accessible to either him or several accomplices, and then Talsma would go get the books and then sell them to people at a discounted price. Talsma is charged with mail and wire fraud, interstate transportation of stolen property, aggravated identity theft, and lying to the FBI. If convicted, he faces up to 40 years in prison. Well, we ain't lying. Friday was a good day on Wall Street. Wall Street notched its best week since July due to solid corporate earnings and that surprise increase in retail sales. Equities rose even in the face of data that showed consumer sentiment dropped in early October. Retailers and banks led to gains in the S&P 500. The broad index closed up by 33 points at 44,071. The Dow led the markets as the blue chips gained 382 points on the session, ending the day and the week back above 35,000 at 35,294. And the NASDAQ picked up 73 points to close at 14,897. Will the exuberance roll into Monday? Stay tuned. And finally, there is this. It seems QR codes are no longer a hit with diners. QR codes were an early pandemic staple in restaurants, cafes, and bars, a necessary irritant to help customers emerge from COVID-19 restrictions and lockdowns. FSR Magazine reports that as establishments increase capacities in many cities, QR codes are growing deeply unpopular with diners, and that could be impacting the restaurant's bottom line. Guests have grown increasingly irritated by having to squint to navigate food and beverage selections. The writer found that businesses that revert to paper menus often witness a sales increase, along with a rise in guest satisfaction. Who knew that the old would be cool once again? All right, stay with us because it is Friday, and we're going to get hyper-local and riff about some of the stuff going on in the greater Des Moines metro with Jeff Pitts from Cityview. We've got arts, entertainment, a comedy event that we can't even tell you the name of. Oh, really? Click ahead for some Friday fun. You deserve it.